Happy Tuesday. Welcome to the gym class. So we take it through the 3 o'clock hour here. We're going to talk some baseball and some college football coming your way on the program today over the next 60 minutes or so, just a little less than 60 minutes or so, as your local programming block getting underway here on KGYM. Also, coming up on the show today, another chance for you to win with our Dr. Pepper prize pack giveaway. Nothing beats cracking open an ice cold Dr. Pepper, and we've got that for you all this week. We've got a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper swag, plus some KGYM swag for you out there as well. We'll have that for you on the program here today. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn, our producer. Terrific show coming up. Cal Eldred and Phil Steele, the one and only Mr. Phil Steele, will be joining us, and we'll talk some college football with him coming up in just a little bit. And plenty to talk about. We start things off, though, very sad news today, Mark, and this basketball program. This is the third tragic occurrence, and this one hits a little bit closer to home as well. Butler University announcing earlier today, Joel Cornett, the former Butler Bulldog, died suddenly today at the age of 35, was found in his home. And, of course, Cornett also was an assistant coach here for the University of Iowa Hawkeyes for a time under Frank Licklider during that particular era. Matt Gaetens was a young player during that particular time of Iowa men's basketball. And, you know, whatever your feelings are about Coach Licklider, whatever the case may be, Joel Cornett, had a chance to meet him on several occasions. A very soft-spoken, kind of a gentle giant guy, and he leaves us way too early. And like I said, third person with a tie to Butler University over the last 12 to 18 months that has passed away.
Didn't know Joel, but what I know of him, he was a brilliant guy and a terrific basketball player at Butler, played under Todd Licklider, and then followed
him. Did I say
him.
Frank Licklider?
You did.
Why did I do that?
Well, that's okay.
That's a golfer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Todd Licklider.
No relation. But then followed Licklider to Iowa, and as you mentioned, assistant coach for the Hawkeyes. And I know Todd knows Joel, and I'm sure we'll speak more about him during the afternoon Players Club. But, yeah, that's way young.
Way too young. And they are going to have a they will have an autopsy, figure out exactly what happened. But the bottom line is we lose a guy way too soon. 35 he was. And, of course, he is the third member of the Butler basketball family to pass away. They lost another player, and that was in January, Andrew Smith. And then also Butler assistant coach Emerson Campen, his six-month-old son Emerson Campen, the fourth, died of a genetic disease. So, man alive, 2016 has not been good for the Butler Bulldogs. And like we said, this one hits close to home, obviously, as he was a member of the Iowa City community for a while. So our thoughts and prayers and condolences going out to the Cornett family.
Yeah, Cornett was really in the middle of that great Butler run back in the day.
Got it started.
Scored over 1,000 points at Butler. And most recently, I believe he's a sports agent or worked in an agency of some kind and was carving out what seemed to be a nice career.
It was a broadcaster as well for a while.
Was, briefly.
For a couple years. And like we said, leaving us way, way too young. We're going to talk some baseball coming up here in just a little bit. We do have afternoon baseball going on. The Cubs with a doubleheader against the Milwaukee Brewers. And if you can name five people out of the Brewer lineup today, you are a better baseball fan than I am. Ryan Braun was not in the lineup. Jonathan Lucroy is not there anymore.
It's not Oswaldo Arcia playing
shortstop
either.
It's not former twin Oswaldo Arcia playing shortstop. This is a bad baseball team now. But Cubs are ahead 3-0 as they play in the bottom of the eighth inning. That is a day-night doubleheader going on at Wrigley Field today.
Trevor Cahill, spot start, and doing what the Cubs absolutely needed, a very nice outing. And the Cubs up 3-0 as we speak. Cahill going five innings, allowing two hits, Two walks and three strikeouts, and now it's handed over to the bullpen.
Mm-hmm. And see how that plays out. So we'll talk some baseball with Cal Eldred. We'll talk some college football as well. We'll do that coming up in a little bit. CBSSports.com, they have released their preseason All-American team, and it includes one Iowa player with Iowa ties, we should say, and that would be Desmond King. Not a real big surprise right there. He is named first-team All-American preseason as a cornerback for CBS Sports.
Well, it's kind of de facto, isn't it? When you got all the awards that King got last year, and when he decides to come back as a senior, it's no big surprise at all. But these are, you know, it's one of those other things that you file it away, bring it back out at the end of the season, and see how it compares to the actual All-American teams.
Like you said we should do yesterday, when or a couple days ago, when our friend of the show, Jerry Palm, came out with his college bowl predictions. Print them off, put them to the side.
Well, for example, there could be any number of injuries along the way. Leonard Fournette, the terrific running back at LSU, suffered a kind of a mild to slight ankle sprain. He's in a boot for one day, and it just takes one play to knock somebody out for the season.
True. Yeah, very much so. Olympics continue. We're not going to spoil anything. That will be replayed tonight on NBC.
If you're a women's gymnastics fan of the United States, you'll like tonight.
Thank you, Mark. As opposed to last night, which still wasn't that bad, a second and a third.
Not really.
It's not like the world was crashing in because it was a second and a third place finish last night, but so be it. And one, we will tell you this, because it doesn't deal with America directly, but just ahead of 3 o'clock here, women's beach volleyball semifinal number one, huge upset, which will help out the Ross and Kerry Walsh Jennings duo that will play tonight. The number one team, the number one duo in the world, the Brazilian number one team, was upset by the Germans, the number four team seeded going into this tournament, on their home beach at Copacabana, and in straight sets. So the Germans advance. The Americans will play the number two Brazilian team tonight. So this will be interesting, because everyone's rocking and rolling for the Americans up to this point, but they're not going to be the one that people are going to be cheering for tonight on the beach at Copacabana.
Speaking of Kerry Walsh Jennings, she is involved in our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, sponsored by Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. Question is, who has been your favorite American athlete to watch during the Olympics? Be Simone Biles, Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, Allie Raisman, Kerry Walsh Jennings, or I'm waiting for wrestling.
Now, that is your favorite athlete to watch. Keep that in mind. It doesn't mean who has been the best performer, in your opinion. It is who is your favorite to watch. So that changes things, I think, a little bit.
Go ahead and vote, KGYMradio.com.
Yeah. Gymnastics closing out today. Track and field is well underway. My question, I have two things before we get to Cal Eldred to ask you, and I want to hear from people on the text line at 319-366-1600. I know they talked about this at length today on ESPN programming. Is it fair for people to dive across the finish line at the end of a running race? Nothing says you can't do it. You might hurt yourself. As long as you don't trip somebody else up or whatever the case may be, it happened last night in the women's 400 as the American Felix was beaten at the tape by the woman from the Bahamas, I believe, that basically dove, whether she wanted to or not, over the tape, over the whatever. It's not a tape anymore, over the finish line. And that guy gave her the gold medal last night.
In other
night.
Words, should you have to stay on your feet?
Should you have to stay on your feet? That seems to be the debate today.
Any way to a gold medal, in my mind.
As long as it's legal, why not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? If you can stand the pain, throw yourself over that line. Is it like sliding into first base?
54-76. It should be whoever feet cross the line first, not their head.
Well, yeah, that's what, of course, you do the lean at the tape, the imaginary tape, if you will, and that helps your time out as well.
Well, that should be the same in horse racing.
It's the nose.
Who's ever hoof crosses the finish line first.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem right.
A lot of people,
I don't know. What do you think out there?
If the American dove, would we be singing a different tune today?
Yeah, we'd be singing the brilliance of Allison Felix.
Yeah, absolutely. She was the smartest person out on the track. My other contention is this. Why in the world? Okay, we watch the swimming, and they're swimming, which is just as strenuous as running in track and field. And the swimmers, they get down, they look, yeah, they're catching their breath a little bit, and then they get out of the pool. The track people lay around and do things for 20 minutes. What is that about? I don't get that. Get up, walk around, cool down, and let's go.
I think the Bahamian runner was just gassed, and that's part of the reason she dove across the finish line.
I agree.
And then laid on the track for some, 15, 20 minutes, and Allison Felix did the same for a smaller amount of time.
Why do the swimmers get up after a couple minutes?
I'm not too bothered.
Are they
it.
In better shape than the track athletes? Thanks to
they don't breathe.
This is the
they
stuff
they don't breathe too hard afterwards.
This is the stuff
that
I think about watching the Olympics.
80-68 torso, not the head, at the finish line.
Torso.
Mm-hmm. 15-77 diving isn't faster. She only did it because she was falling.
She was falling, yeah.
Just ask Michael Johnson or any baseball coach. A lot of baseball. Baseball, I don't want you to slide into first. Run through the bag.
But you still see it. Some people still contend that it's quicker to dive head first into first base. It's not the case. Run through the base. Never dive head first into first base, kids out there. It is torso? Are they sure? Instead of head?
I'm not sure whether that was a suggestion as to what should be, who should be measured across the finish line or not.
I thought it's just whatever hits first.
I think so, too. Any body part.
Anything.
Well, not your hands. Starting with your head on down, I think. Right?
We need a ruling. We need a ruling. We're going to get a ruling on this. We're going to find out.
Get Coon on this.
We're going to get Alex on it. First, he's going to call Cal Eldred, and then he's going to look and see exactly how the determination of who wins in an event like that is determined.
1577 says, yes, the rule is torso.
Torso.
Yeah.
Then, all right.
94-42, yes, as they said it on TV last night. Well, hell, it must be true. They said it on TV.
Is that like reading it on the internet? Torso. All right. We'll go with that. We're going to get a second opinion. Not that we don't trust our listeners out there. Not that we don't trust them, but we just want to get we're going to go and dive into the official track and field rule book and find out for sure. I don't think Cal ever ran track, but we're going to find out. We're going to talk to Cal next, 17 minutes past the hour of 3. We'll talk Major League Baseball, and then we're going to talk college football with the guru of all things college football, and that is Phil Steele. So stay with us. More to come. Tuesday edition of the Gym Class coming away here on KGYM.
Hey, football fans. The new season is gearing up, and I'm On wants to make sure you never miss a play. Whether you're at home or on the go, you can stream all the game action on your mobile device in real time with I'm On Communications TV everywhere. Catch every play and rewatch your favorite moments no matter where you go. The best part, TV everywhere is free for I'm On Cable TV subscribers. Experience the local difference and find great deals at imon.net/football.
Throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care about your boss making you stay late, the rent you haven't paid yet, and your dog's weird limp. Because tonight, party people, you're at a Twins game, and it's going off. Dozier just danced his way to a double. That Rosario triple had kids grooving on the beaches in Puerto Rico. And you're about to get down with Stone Cold Buds. Because the Twins are your ticket to the best times ever. And your ticket to summer.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, The Gym Class, KGYM.
We promise you things. We get down to it here on The Gym Class. Mark Dukes, rule book states.
I'd be coon to it. Multiple websites I quickly consulted on how is a winner at the finish line determined. It is indeed the torso. Okay. So why runners lean and I guess they're leaning with their head, therefore the torso follows,
the torso
right?
comes with them, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be the case.
Well, I doubt our listeners, huh?
No, they are always right. They are always right. Cal Eldred set to join us at 19 minutes past the hour at 3 o'clock here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class, KGYM. Cal, did you run track at Urbana High School?
Actually, guys, we shared track and wrestling with Center Point. It was before we were combined, and it was flat-out pride that kept me from running track, guys.
So we can't ask you then if it's torso or head.
could not see myself with a Center Point uniform on. No, it was actually good. Plus, you know, you ran in basketball, you ran in baseball. Those are things I didn't like to do. But track, I've got a much better appreciation for track. I've got my wife has a niece who's a running in college. I got a daughter that runs. So, you know, guys, I just don't think I was fast enough, to be honest with you.
I've seen Cal run poles in spring training, and I'm not sure what event he would have been good at.
throwing something more likely, shot put or something like that. But in high school, the shot put weighed just about as much as I did.
Oh, man. Well, we do have a lot of baseball to talk about, and we can start things off here. Boy, again, the American League East, just absolutely a whole lot of fun. And now it's three teams separated by one game. And you know what? The Yankees, they're not out of this thing yet. At 5.5 games back and 4 games over 500, they're going to have a say in this thing.
Well, I think the Yankees got exactly what they wanted. When you release a player of the caliber of Alex Rodriguez, obviously not what he used to be, and then you bring in a couple young guys with Tyler Austin, Aaron Judge, and Sanchez, the catcher, and then your young guys go back-to-back hitting homers that very day, that says something about your player development levels. But I'll tell you that they're not out of this. And if they can get enough pitching, I think they've still got a chance. Part of it's because these teams are just beating up on each other, and they're going to play each other a lot down the stretch. We had a lot of fun baseball in the East.
Cal, I want to ask you a question about the potential wild card teams, of which there are many in each league. But for argument's sake, as of today, let's look at Toronto, Detroit, Seattle, Miami,
Boston,
St. Louis, Boston, the Dodgers. Which of those teams would you think has the best chance of making the World Series as a wild card?
Well, I think that Toronto in the East really intrigues me, because I think Stroman's going to pitch better than he has, and he has pitched a better of late. I really like their rotation. I don't think Boston has enough, but I do think that of those teams in Seattle, I mean, they're 9-1 in their last 10, so you got to give them credit. But I don't think they have enough either. The team that I see that could come out of there would be Toronto. And depending on what can happen, obviously with Baltimore, with their strong bullpen, they could be a team also. But, of course, one of those teams is going to win a division. But coming out of the wild card, and Detroit's played better of late, but I still don't think they have enough answers in their bullpen. In the National League, guys, you know, I'm not counting out Pittsburgh either. And St. Louis and Miami, as much as, I mean, they're playoff bound at this point. Somebody's going to miss out there. Obviously, losing to Stanton for Miami is hurting them big time. But with St. Louis not having walk in the rotation is not helping them. So if there's a team that's going to come out of there, I think the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers have a better chance if they can get Kershaw back on the mound. They've actually played some really good baseball since he's been hurt. And if they can get him back on the mound, then this Dodger team is a team that I think like you asked that question, Mark. They could go to the World Series coming through the wild card. But half game back, they're probably going to win that division.
Mm. Well, you mentioned Stanton out for the Miami Marlins, and that's just that's a huge void in a pretty darn good lineup. Got to see them about a month ago, and that's a good hitting lineup. How do you make up for that if you're the Marlins?
Well, I think, you know, you're going to have to look at it. Don Mattingly's going to have to look at it. They're going to have to find a little bit different way to produce some runs because Stanton, he's obviously driving the runs in. When he's not driving the runs in, though, and this is where what a lot of people don't see and don't it's hard to understand this unless you watch the team every day and see how Stanton in the lineup changes how other guys get pitched. And now there's going to be another guy or two in the lineup that are usually getting on base because Stanton's in the lineup and getting fastballs because Stanton's in the lineup, they're going to get pitched around. And if they can keep, right now, if you can keep D. Gordon off base, you just keep a couple of the guys off base, then they're not nearly the threat to score runs. And Stanton's a guy that's big enough, he can hit homers anywhere. And hitting home runs in Miami is not the easiest thing. So you're right, Scott. They have a dilemma. They may need to hit and run more. They may need to bunt more. Even though they've been scoring runs right now, and it's tough to ask their pitching staff to pitch better, but they're going to have to.
Would you sign Usain Bolt for the stretch run, Cal?
Hey, you know what? With the organization that I work for now, with the Kansas City Royals, you guys have seen what we've done with Gerard Dyson.
Yeah.
There's, you know, with Terrence Gore. There's no question. I mean, if you had a guy that's fast and knows how to run the bases, and he's in double A or A ball learning to swing the bat, you may have that guy on the 40-man roster for that reason. And, Mark, you know what? I mean, if Bolt knew how to stop, the guy probably can't stop.
That's true.
Left center before he stops stealing a base so fast. But it's something that is part of the game now. And when the playoffs, it gets close to the playoffs, those guys come into play.
Mm. Well, and it takes him a while to get started, too. But, boy, once he gets going, look out. It'd be fun to watch him run the bases, but I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. On the other side of the ledger, teams that are not going to be playing baseball in October, I believe at least three of our panel picked the Arizona Diamondbacks to make the postseason. They are in last place now. Last place in the National League West. Have they been the most disappointing team in baseball this year?
I don't think there's any question. I think that, you know, they've got an MVP at first base, a guy and he slumped early. I mean, you look at what Goldschmidt had done early on. He started the year and struggled, and that team got so far behind. It was a team, Mark, one of those teams. I think we talked about Milwaukee and the Diamondbacks were two teams that we talked about getting so far behind that they just can't make up that ground, and it happened for the Diamondbacks. And then they lose Greinke for a while. And then Greinke coming back, and he's still getting bumped around. So, and he's trying to live up to that contract. So there's no question. And you know what? Actually, you know, you look at their starting pitching overall, and it just hasn't been good. Their offense hasn't been good. So they are, no question, a disappointment, and the biggest disappointment in baseball.
Well, your employer, the Kansas City Royals, is playing really, really good baseball lately, only two games under 500 now. But it's 7.5 back on the wild card, and what, five or six teams to jump? Is it too much to ask of the Royals down the stretch?
Well, it may be to catch these teams. And, you know, you take a team like Seattle, and all of a sudden they go 9-1. If a couple of these teams ahead of them have good spurts, then it keeps us from being able to catch up. But what you can expect from the Royals, and we can expect it from our players, is to keep playing the kind of baseball that they've been playing of late. We've been getting the pitching that we have expected, and we've been getting really good starts. Ventura, Duffy, Kennedy, I mean, back-to-back starts have been going extremely well. And they've been playing defense. They're going to play defense. The Royals, we've been able to play good defense. It's just offensively, without Moustakas in the lineup, Alex Gordon has to hit the ball better, and he has of late, too. And that's why they've had this resurgence and play better baseball. But that's what we expect. And if some of these teams falter, we've seen these teams, guys. Even the teams that are – the top two teams in each division playing 500 baseball at times throughout the last 3 to 4 weeks. So is it out of the realm of possibilities? No way. So they've got to keep playing good baseball as the way they can.
Cal Elder joining us, 3:28 here on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM as we talk some Major League Baseball. Cal, the Cardinals and the Cubs met over the weekend. They split. I said the Cardinals had to win three to even have a sniff at this thing down the stretch in the National League Central to even keep a dream alive. Two-part question, I guess. Do you agree with that? And secondly, I guess it's a little different now that you have the wild card, but... especially in pre-wildcard days, to be out as far as you are, if you're the Cardinals or the Pirates, it'd be tough to play the rest of the schedule, really, knowing that there's about a 1% chance that you're going to catch up and at least get into a one-game playoff or something like that. But it's a little better with the wild card, I guess.
Yeah, and I think that now those teams have to start making adjustments in what they're doing with their rosters. And in other words, the Cardinals have to realize 12 games. They are back 12 games right now. The Pirates are back 13 games. The Cardinals need to adjust their roster to win every game that they can, but they also have to understand how do they play, who are they playing, and they've got to keep winning games like they're trying to win the division. But when you've got a team that's ahead of you that's 30 games over 500, they're not going to catch the Cubs, more than likely. That's just that they can't look at it that way. But they've got to keep playing good baseball and keep fending off the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because the Pittsburgh Pirates, with their starting rotation, they should be able to continue to keep the heat on St. Louis. This is going to be a fun one to watch, guys, because my son Luke and I were just talking about it, that this, once again, you could have three teams from the Central end up in the playoffs, because Miami's going to have to overcome losing Stanton in both Pittsburgh and St. Louis. That's an advantage for them.
Do the Chicago Cubs think about Jonathan Papelbon?
No way.
Nope.
There's just I don't think he fits. I don't think he fits in a part of in a team that is. I guess the chemistry is where I'm thinking, and I think there's, if they needed somebody else, another arm down there, I don't think he's the answer.
Cal, the Angels are 20 games under 500 for the first time in Mike Socha's career there in 17 years with the Angels. Why are they so bad?
Man, I don't think they've had good enough starting pitching, and I think that's the pitching has been the problem. They let Mike Butcher go last year or the year before. Mike Butcher is now the pitching coach for the Arizona Diamondbacks. And it's not that they've had a very good year this year either. And Shelby Miller was another guy with the Diamondbacks that has been a huge disappointment for them. But and I know Mike's had a hard time trying to figure Shelby out. But I just don't think that their pitching has been good enough. And defensively, they're a pretty good ball club. Offensively, they can score runs. And they've got money tied up in the Hamilton, who's not even on the club. Some of the business decisions that they've made have made it awful tough on the club. But, guys, I hate to say this, but I think that they need a change in the manager's position. And I think they need to change that. The atmosphere needs to change. And whether ownership is willing to do that or not, because I know Socha's signed, I think, for the next 3-4 years yet. So they're going to have to eat a lot of money right there. But I think it would be the betterment for the better of the club.
Question for you, Cal, on our text line. Wonders how often you talk to George Brett.
Well, George is pretty busy. Hall of Famer. I don't see George down at very many minor league games. So I don't get the chance to talk to George much at all.
He's not going down to the Arizona Fall League and places like that.
Well, I know he does do that. He really does enjoy minor league baseball. I just have been the same place as he's been, and they have him doing so much stuff in Kansas City that's where his time is taken up.
All right, Cal, I think we know where we're at in the top of your top five, but let us know if there's any changes in this week's.
Well, there is a change in this week's, but this week, I'll tell you, it is tough, and you could take three or four of those teams in the American League East, guys, and slot them in at number five. But I didn't put any of them in there. There's no American League East team in the top five, which I didn't have last week, but I still think at number five, I'm flip-flopping the Dodgers and Cleveland because I think the Dodgers are playing better baseball than Cleveland. But so I'm putting Cleveland at number five. Cleveland has a chance to turn this around, though. They know they're going to have Michael Brantley's out for the rest of the season, so they can make their plans accordingly because he had surgery on his shoulder. But they're hoping to get Salazar back, and he's planning on starting on Thursday. So Cleveland can get a shot in the arm with Salazar coming back. But the Dodgers, guys, if they can get Kershaw back, I know I keep saying this, that may actually propel them to winning the division. And I think I know they're playing better ball than San Francisco right now. But the top three, we switched around there too. Texas is down at number three. The Nationals are continuing to play good baseball, winning the games they should. And obviously at the top of the list, the Chicago Cubs, you've got to give them credit. I know that was a tough series for them. They didn't have, they were kind of in a no-win situation there playing at home against St. Louis. St. Louis had a lot to play for, but the Cubs just need to keep putting the pressure on and they'll be able to set themselves up in their rotation for the playoffs.
Yeah, and boy, it's going to be interesting. I mean, the wild card is so up in the air still in both the American League and the National League. I know people, Cub fans, are starting to think, well, who do we want to face? Now, keep in mind, the Nationals are only four games behind for the top spot, best record in the National League. But I don't think Cubs, Nationals, I don't care. I don't think anybody wants to see the Dodgers come out of that wild card position, especially with Kershaw.
No, exactly. You get Kershaw, you may end up with them, seeing him a couple times in that series, and you just don't know. Brett Anderson came back, hurt his wrist right after he came back yesterday, but their pitching is, and at the end of their bullpen, they can be pretty electric. So the Dodgers are not a team that they want to see. I think actually the Cubs would probably prefer to see Pittsburgh or St. Louis rather than the Dodgers.
Or the Marlins, even, if they can survive without Stanton.
Well, and then you're going to end up with Fernandez. You're going to see him for sure. So it's all these teams have somebody at the top. But when you talk about, you start to talk about Fernandez and you talk about Kershaw, those guys are special guys. And if you want to see them twice in the series, it's not a good thing.
It's going to be fun down the stretch. Going to be a lot of fun indeed. Are you in the minors right now, Cal, or are you where are you at?
We are actually, I'm below the minors, guys. We're on our way taking Luke down to Dallas Baptist. It's time to drop him off at school and pay some tuition, guys.
Well, there you go. And best to Luke. Hope he has a great freshman year.
Good baseball school.
It is a good baseball school. And, yeah, it's something he's looked forward to. And now I'm at home with three girls and my wife, guys. Things are changing.
Uh-oh.
You it's a good thing. Now they all take care of me.
The balance of power has shifted, hasn't it?
Yeah. I'm just going to keep saying yes. Yes is good. Scott, you're right.
Thanks, Cal.
You bet, guys. Enjoy the baseball.
337, the outnumbered Cal Eldred joining us on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Maybe we should go watch baseball with Cal. No, they watch baseball together, though. I know the girls and his wife watch baseball with him. So
they don't want us around, Scott.
They don't want us around. No. We're going to get ready to take a break. And when we come back, Phil Steele is going to join us. And we're going to talk some college football with Phil as we're closer and closer to the kickoff for the 2016 season. And, of course, you can hear a lot of games right here on KGYM. And we've got a Dr. Pepper prize pack we're going to give away right now. We're doing that throughout the week. Thanks to Steve, everybody down the hill at Dr. Pepper Snapple for helping us out. And if you are caller number 6 at 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600. You're going to score yourself a 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, a 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper t-shirts, some KGYM free stuff as well. So caller number 6, 319-366-1600. Back with more after this.
If you run a business, plumbing, HVAC, or construction, you know that some vans are too small, others too big. That's where the Mercedes-Benz Metris comes in. With unmatched safety features, a 2,500 two-pound payload, and enough cargo space to hold over 60 sheets of 4x8 drywall, it's big enough for the job. yet it's small enough to fit in your garage. It has a service interval of up to 15,000 miles and the highest residual value in its class, according to ALG. During the Metris Summer Savings event, save $3,000 on all 2016 Mercedes-Benz Metris models. Mercedes-Benz. Vans born to run.
Offer valid only to qualified customers for purchase or lease of eligible 2016 Mercedes-Benz Metris vans. Cashback only available on the purchase or lease of a 2016 Metris van from new dealer stock. See your authorized Mercedes-Benz Vans dealer or mbvans.com website for full offer details. Offer ends August 31st, 2016.
At Walgreens, getting diabetes testing supplies with Medicare Part B is a walk in the park. Really, because getting what you need is quick and easy, giving you more time for other things. There's $0 out of pocket on all major brands like AccuCheck and Walgreens TrueMetrics, and no extra paperwork. So managing diabetes becomes a stroll down easy street, or a trip to the movies, or even a day at the beach. Talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, at the corner of happy and healthy.
Zero out-of-pocket cost when billed to Medicare and full coverage supplemental insurance.
Congratulations going out to Sean from Mount Vernon. He is our winner in our Dr. Pepper giveaway for today. We will have Dr. Pepper giveaways on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday as well, right here on KGYM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Has the summer heat taken a toll on your vehicle's battery? Count on O'Reilly Auto Parts for the SuperStart battery that's right for your vehicle. For a limited time, purchase a SuperStart Premium, Extreme, or Platinum battery and get up to a $15 O'Reilly gift card by mail. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old-school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back in The Gym Class, Tuesday edition here on 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City. Closer and closer to the kickoff of the 2016 college football season. With that in mind, our good friend Phil Steele joining us here on the program as we talk a little college football, a lot of college football. And Phil, it's a great time of year. Everybody's undefeated and everybody's a national championship contender to a certain extent, right?
That is correct, and that always happens this time of year. And it's a good thing we're talking college football, because if we talk to any other sport, You'd hear a lot of silence on this end of the phone.
Phil, I know you've hopped on several shows and talked about Iowa, and you like Iowa this year. Why?
Well, numerous reasons. First of all, I felt Iowa was a little fortunate last year to go 12-0 during the regular season. They won a lot of close games. They benefited from plus 11 in turnovers. A lot of things went their way last season, except for the Big Ten title game, which they could easily have won. Generally, when it happens, I'm pointing downward on a team the next year. But here's what I like about Iowa. They're a more talented team. I look at them on defense. Nathan Budgeta and Jaleel Johnson on the inside at defensive tackle. Josie Jewell at middle linebacker. Some guy, Desmond King, who won the Jim Thorpe Award at cornerback. I feel the defense is stronger than it was last year. And then offensively, you know, I originally had C.J. Beathard about number 15 on my NFL list for quarterbacks for the draft. But I bounced it off of five different draft experts. And what they did is they had me move him all the way up to number 6. Here's a guy that got banged up early last year, was never really 100%, missed some practice. I'm looking for a big year out of C.J. Beathard. I like the running backs in Daniels and Wadley. And then what I like about Iowa the best is the schedule this year. You look at their five Big Ten road games. They come against teams that were a combined 10-30 in the Big Ten last year. That means the toughest games, Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Northwestern, they're all at home. I can paint a scenario where Iowa could be favored in all 12 games this year, and I think this year's squad's a better football team. May not catch last year's fortune as far as winning all the close games and catching a lot of breaks, but I think Iowa's got a chance, or they are my pick to win the Big Ten West.
We're reading in your magazine, Phil, you mentioned the fact about special teams for the Hawkeyes. A couple years ago, it just flat out wasn't very good. Got better last year, kicking and punting, Desmond King with the returns game. But it's a whole new brand of folks kicking the ball and punting the ball this year. And in the scrimmage on Saturday down at Kinnick Stadium, mixed reviews on it. In fact, they didn't even trot the punters out. So I think that is the one aspect of this team that everyone's kind of maybe holding their breath about a little bit.
Yeah, that is a concern. Now, the good news is, Coach Ferentz always puts a premium on special teams, as you touched on. It hasn't been there the last 2 years, number 109, number 52 in my rankings. But usually when a coach puts that much emphasis on the special teams, they work it out. But, yes, that is one of my concerns heading into the year.
Billy, you rank position groups, and I find that fascinating. Where does Iowa rank high, if at all?
Quarterbacks, I got them number 24, but although I have Beathard a higher pick for the draft. Offensive line, I've got them number 47. And then defense is where they rank the best. I got the number 31 defensive line, number 40 set of linebackers, and number 17 defensive back. So five of the eight units rank in my top units in the front of the magazine.
That's the Big Ten West. How about the Big Ten East? I don't think there's any doubt that it's probably the stronger of the two divisions anyway. You like Ohio State. I know you really like Michigan going into the year. And you mentioned Michigan's got to come to Iowa City. They also have to go to Columbus, I believe, this year. How can Harbaugh pull a Houdini and come away with the Eastern Division Championship?
Now, I think the East is a three-team race. And on October 27th, Michigan's going to be leading the pack. They're going to be probably number two or number three in the country. They're going to be a dominating 7-0, seven big dominating wins. The offense can be among the best in the country, defense among the best in the country. They're going to be loaded. But what I don't like about Michigan is that schedule. You look at their last five games, they have to play at Michigan State, at Iowa, at Ohio State. I think they dropped probably at least two of those games, and that's why I didn't pick them to win the East. Now, Michigan State's a team that can be very scary here. They're inexperienced, but they might have one of D'Antonio's best defenses yet. And I like the offense with Tyler O'Connor. I think he can come very close to matching Connor Cook's pedestrian numbers from last year. He only hit 56% with a 24-7 ratio. They've got L.J. Scott. What I like best about them, they got that chip on their shoulder back. Remember last year they opened up the year number five, rose as high as number two, and they weren't playing like it. They were barely getting by weak teams like Purdue and Rutgers. But they play their best with the chip on their shoulder. Everybody, including myself, is picking them third in the East, and they get Michigan and Ohio State at home. They're dangerous. But the team I want to win the East this year is Ohio State. And Ohio State's the least experienced team in the country, number 128 out of 128. But they are loaded with talent. They've had the number one recruiting class in the Big Ten for five straight years. Urban Meyer's lost a grand total of one Big Ten regular season game in 4 years. I do think they take some lumps early, like at Oklahoma and potentially at Wisconsin or at Penn State this year. But when they play their biggest games of the year, and I'm talking Michigan State, Michigan, this team will have 10 games under their belt. Well, you're no longer inexperienced. You got a full season under your belt. The most talented team in the Big Ten will be playing like it at the end of the year. And I think they beat both Michigan State and Michigan, and that's why they're my pick to win the East. And I have Ohio State playing Iowa in the Big Ten title game.
Let's go back to the West for a minute, Phil. Which team or teams represent Iowa's chief challenge?
Number one, I'm going to go with Nebraska. Nebraska was not really a 6-7 team last year. They had those five close losses. They were minus 12 in turnovers. It was the first year for Riley. Riley was trying to learn the players' strengths and weaknesses, players trying to learn the new system. Armstrong and Riker Fife at QB combined for 21 interceptions. This year, I think they run the ball a little more. Their quarterbacks are more adept to the offense. They get a guy back at receiver, which I really like, in DeMarnay Pearsonell. Watch him on fly sweeps this year. And he's supposed to be back to health, which is great. I think Nebraska is going to be one of the most improved teams in the country. But much like Michigan, I think Nebraska opens up real strong, 7-0. But they've got to play at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, at Iowa down the stretch, and that's going to knock them out. Wisconsin has the biggest increase in schedule in the country. They go from number 81 to number 9. And after missing Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State the last 2 years, they got to play all three and play them in back-to-back-to-back weeks. That's going to be tough. Wisconsin's a better team than last year, but I don't think it's going to show record-wise. And then keep your eyes on Minnesota. They're the anti-Wisconsin scheduling-wise. They've had to play all the big boys the last couple years, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State. This year they avoid all three. They actually take on my number 75 rated schedule, and Tracy Clay says it's the best team that he's had that they've had since he's been there, and he got there in 11. I think Minnesota's a dark horse candidate.
Phil Steele joining us here, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And Phil, let's change gears and go from the Big Ten to the Big 12 for the Iowa State Cyclones and new coach Matt Campbell. A lot of optimism, but it's been tapered, obviously, by a couple of injuries, one to the backup quarterback, and then we found out that Jake Campos, the starting right tackle, and probably, well, he is the most experienced lineman coming back on the offensive side. He is going to be out, and you're reporting, a lot of people reporting, for the entire year. That's going to impact Iowa State. Your thoughts about Matt Campbell coming in and the Cyclones?
Matt Campbell's a sharp, young head coach. Really liked the job he did at Toledo. And, you know, the advantage he has here, I'm going to go back to last year's offensive line at Toledo. This Iowa State team, if they have zero returning starters on the offensive line, would match exactly what he had last year at Toledo. He had zero returning starters. And I remember it was seven games into the season. I'm looking at philsteele.com because we have all the stats there. And I'm like, we got a typo here because I'm showing Toledo has zero sacks after seven games. And that's impossible. They have zero returning starters on the offensive line. Guess what? That was the stat. And he brought his offensive line coach, Tom Manning, with him. So we know they can work with inexperienced offensive linemen. They've got Alan Lazard at receiver, who I like a lot. Mike Warren, one of the better running backs in the league. And now experienced a quarterback in Joel Lanning. And defensively, you know, JUCOs usually make their biggest impact in their second year. It takes them about a year to get up to speed. DeMond Tucker was pretty good last year. He could be one of the best defensive tackles in the Big 12 this year. They've got Willie Harvey at linebacker, DeAndre Payne at in the secondary. They've got the makings of a pretty decent unit. Not wild about the schedule. Iowa and TCU on the road for non-conference games, and then in-conference play at Oklahoma State, at Texas. It's going to be tough to get to that magical level, but they've been close the last couple years. I like the job Campbell does, and if he can do the same magic on the offensive line he did at Toledo last year on this year's offensive line, they're going to flirt with that bowl eligibility, but I didn't call for it in the magazine.
Baylor is in the league, obviously, and how difficult is it to evaluate that team with a new coach, player defections, and the like?
You know, I had Baylor number 8 in the country back in April, and then luckily my magazine goes to the press June 2nd, so I was able to downgrade them towards the bottom of the top 20. But now you touched on the defection. Since the magazine went out, they lost 9 members of this year's recruiting class, including Tre'Davious Dixon at receiver, and then a couple of JUCOs, lifeguard B.J. Autry and nose tackle Jeremy Falk, all 3 guys I had projected as starters. They lost 2 quarterbacks that combined for 6 starts last year, and Jared Stidham and Chris Johnson, who left. They're down to 70 scholarship players. That's going to be the key, because when you look at Baylor this year, they could jump out of the gate 6-0, and I still think they're going to have a good season, you know, an 8-9 win season potentially, but they play their toughest 6 games at the end of the year, at Texas, TCU, at Oklahoma, Kansas State, Texas Tech on the road, West Virginia on the road, and with only 70 scholarship players, you wonder about the depth at the end of the year. I originally had them as a main contender in the Big 12, but not anymore. I'm looking at about an 8-win season for them.
Is this I don't want to say a make-or-break year for Bob Stoops in Norman for Oklahoma, but so much is expected of his Sooners this year going into the Big 12 season. I think there's no doubt that they're the favorite, but they've fallen short of expectations in the past. How about this Oklahoma team?
Yeah, one of the clearest paths to the playoffs of any team in the country. You look at Oklahoma, and with no other top 10 team in the Big 12 this year, you look at their schedule, they're going to be favored in every game. I talked to Coach Stoops this spring, and I think the defense is going to be much better than anybody expects. That secondary is one of the best in the country with Jordan Thomas, Stephen Parker, Ahmed Thomas, Jordan Evans at linebacker, Romar and Walker up front, and then, of course, offensively, Baker Mayfield, P. Ryan and Mixon in the backfield, a solid offensive line. They are loaded, but it's what you just touched on. They're expectations. The last 4 times they have been a preseason top 5 team, which they will be this year, they have not finished higher than 15. And amazingly, twice they've been preseason top 5 and finished unranked. It's been massive disappointment. So when I was doing Oklahoma, they're my number 5 offense in the country. They're my number 9 defense in the country. But the alarm bell ringing in the back of my head is how they've done as a preseason top 5 team, and that is very poorly. But I still did pick them to win the Big 12.
Back to Iowa State, a lot of folks like the wide receiver group and the defensive back group. Is that true with you, Phil?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In fact, you know, when I look at Iowa State with Lazard and Daly and receiver, I like that talent there. And then in the secondary, it's a veteran group. And, you know, Kamari Cotton-Moya at the safety spot, one of the more underrated guys. I think he's poised for a breakout year this year. And then they've got 4 guys loaded up at the cornerback spot with plenty of starting experience. So this is a unit that's got a lot of experience, and I think they're talented as well.
Nationally, big news, Sean McGuire going to be out for a while after foot surgery for Florida State. They were a consensus top 5 pick, at least top 10 right up there. I think Alabama's going to start the season number 1 as far as most of the polls are concerned. Clemson's going to be right up there as well. A lot of people like Tennessee. I like Stanford after what they did to Iowa in the Rose Bowl last year. And then there's Notre Dame. How do you see the national picture?
Well, as mentioned, I've got Oklahoma in the playoffs this year. I think it's a year where we might see two teams from the same conference in the playoffs this year. It could be either the Alabama-LSU loser, and I think LSU's loaded. Don't fall asleep on LSU. I know last year they got off to a great start and then sort of collapsed after that Alabama loss. But Dave Aranda comes in as the defensive coordinator. He's got 9 returning starters on defense and much more talent to work with here than he had at Wisconsin. So I think they've got my number 2 defense in the country. They've got Leonard Fournette, 2 NFL caliber receivers. They just need slightly above average quarterback play, and LSU's actually going to be favored in every game. You touched on Clemson. I agree with that. Florida State's the other team I'm going to throw out. And frankly, I expected DeAndre Francois to begin the year a starter as it was. So I think that McGuire being out will hurt their depth a little bit. But Francois was going to be the starter, and he's got Dalvin Cook to hand off to, loaded at receiver, offensive line. Florida State is actually my pick to win it all this year. And even with McGuire out the first couple of games, I expected him to be the backup quarterback when the season started. So those would probably be the top teams out there. And I'm going to agree with you. Stanford's loaded. The only thing I don't like about Stanford is their schedule this year. When you look at it, they have to play UCLA, Washington, Notre Dame, and Oregon all on the road.
7 years, Phil has predicted the AP top 10, and he's gotten 66 out of 70. What about the other 4, Phil?
You know, 1 year, Notre Dame lost their starting quarterback in the spring, so that one threw me for a loop there. And so they dropped down to number 11. It's I'm sorry about that, guys. I'll try to do better, but at least we got 10-10 again this year.
I can't even get 500 in pick'em games, so I think you're doing just fine. You mentioned Notre Dame before we let you go here. What's kind of the line for the Irish, the over and under, to get into the national Final Four? Can they lose a couple of games? A lot of people seem to think that's the case, that Notre Dame can go 10-2 and they can make that Final Four.
I don't think so. The conference championship component with the committee is big, so I think if Notre Dame runs the table, or if you have a bunch of one-loss teams, they'd have a chance, but still they would not be a conference champion. So I almost think running the table is their best shot at getting there, and they really have a schedule this year that could get them there. Only 3 true road games. Now, guys, who only plays 3 true road games? They play at Texas, at NC State, at USC. They got 3 neutral site games, Army, Navy, and Syracuse, where they're probably going to have the crowd edge. And then, of course, there's 6 home games, so they're probably going to have the crowd edge in 9 of their 12 games. Texas is tricky in the opener. USC's dangerous at the end of the year. I do think they have to run the table if everybody else has one loss, though.
Yeah. Good stuff, Phil, as always. And let the people know how they can get a hold of the great magazine.
Well, I appreciate that, guys. The magazine is out there, and it's at Walmart, Walgreens, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Target, CVS, and Publix. It is sold out in a lot of places right now, so you can go to philsteele.com and order it. That's STEELE.com. You can also go and get it on your iPad or iPhone through the Apple Store or your Android device through Google Play, another great way to get it. You can follow me on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. And we also have an NFL magazine. The college magazine is 352 pages. It's like getting 128 media guides rolled into one. But the NFL magazine gives you 5 full pages on each NFL team. Order the college and the NFL magazine together, and you save some bucks. You can call 866-918-7711. That's 866-918-7711.
PhilSteele.com is the website. Check it out. Phil, talk to you soon. Great insight as always, and have a great fall.
Hey, a lot of fun talking football with you guys today, as always.
All right, we'll take a break. Come back and more after this here on KGYM.
You know that Airgas USA, LLC, is one of the nation's leading suppliers of industrial, medical, and specialty gases. But did you know we also carry welding and safety supplies, hardware and tools, and offer MRO products and services to industrial and commercial vendors? We do, and we have a location right here in Cedar Rapids on C Avenue Northeast. So the bottom line, Airgas USA, LLC, has gas, welding, and safety supplies. We're 30 years strong and getting stronger. See us at airgas.com.
Lace up your shoes and join the Unity Point Health Live Well 5K Walk Run Saturday, August 27th. Your strides help support the Unity Point Clinic Diabetes and Kidney Fund, which gives financial assistance to local people in need with diabetes and kidney-related issues. There'll also be fun family-friendly activities. So bring your family and walk or run in the Unity Point Health Live Well 5K on Saturday, August 27th at Nubo City Market. Register now at unitypoint.org/livewell5k.
It's only 24 days until the NFL kicks off the 2016 season. Don't miss a minute of the action. Get NFL Red Zone from NFL Network now. Every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons. NFL Red Zone from NFL Network is available on Mediacom. Go to MediacomCable.com.
Back with you here for the last moments of the gym class here today. APC coming up next. They'll have more details on your chances to play fantasy football against us here at KGYM. That'll be coming up. Also, they will have a pair of tickets to see Brian Adams coming up at the U.S. Cellular Center on September the 18th. Chance to score a pair of tickets coming up with the APC here in a little bit. Poll question and other things, Mark.
Yep, KGYMradio.com. Who has been your favorite American athlete to watch during these Olympics? Would it be Kerry Walsh Jennings, Simone Biles, Michael Phelps, Allie Raisman, Katie Ledecky, or I'm waiting for wrestling? The race for the worst record in Major League Baseball on tonight, Twins and Braves.
7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock, join in progress.
See you tomorrow.
All right.
Caddy Smack coming up tomorrow, KGYM.
Ice cold Dr. Pepper and college football go way back. They belong together like crazy upsets and stadium flyovers, t-shirt guns and slow-mo cams, wildcats and flea flickers. Having a college.